Yo, we are back 3 weeks in a row. You know what that means, Mike?
That's a winning streak.
It's a winning streak. We're in a winning streak. Hey, ain't no stopping us now. And moving. Proven.
But so.
Some Dude Pod, make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download to the Barbershed Network, home of Some Dude Pod. Make sure you follow us on everything at Some Dude Pod. I am JR Bang. I am talking to Mike B, the man who hates the respectable guy. Or is respectfully guy.
Respectfully. What are you talking about?
The dude that you put up in the group. You said that you feel, you know.
Oh, yeah.
The dude with the WNBA with the women and be like, yo, he a smash, respectfully.
Look, man, I almost deleted that shit out the group, bro. You know what I'm saying? I almost got that up out of there, fam. I don't know, bro. It's like, how can I say this without being like coming off as like a racist?
He white doing it.
Like, yeah, I just have an issue with, you know what I'm saying, white people discussing black queens. Like,
okay.
In that manner. You know what I'm saying? I just stay out of our business, man. You know, that's all I gotta say about that, man. You know what I'm saying? With all due respect, like I'm just that would just rub me the wrong way. Dog, leave our black queens alone, our black athlete queens. Like, you know, you like that. I didn't see that on my TikTok algorithm before, and I have completely just skipped right by that shit. And you know, I can't do it. I almost deleted that post, but I left it up though. I'll let y'all get y'all laughs in on it. But I, in a way, I don't really find that shit comical at all. Like,
it just
stay out of business.
Some of it be, I will say, like, I feel you. I don't disagree with you.
I'm not mad at the, look, hold on. It's not the message. It's
the messenger.
That's all it is.
I feel you. That's actually why it's somewhat funny to me. Like, the messenger is actually why I laugh at it, because I'm like, the messenger wouldn't have a chance with some of these, most of these women, all of these women.
There's no shot.
Now, I do be laughing at the ones where it'd be like the coach wives, and you be noticing how homely some of them be looking.
Right.
And he be like, nah, like, but it's the messenger is the reason why I laugh. Messenger. But when you said that in the group, I was like, wait a minute, Mike got a point.
I like this. Mike got a point. Like, this ain't that, fam. Like, get this up out of here, fam. Like,
Mike got a point.
Yeah, like I'm cool on that, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? Let my culture discuss our culture respectfully. Now, bro, with all due respect, buddy, make your content. You know what I'm saying? It's funny. It might be funny, but it ain't funny to me, bro. Like, that shit was not funny.
You
at
got
all.
Your limits, huh? You just got your limits.
Yeah, gotta stop. Gotta stop somewhere. It gotta stop. But with all due respect, though. But no, other than that, I'm cool.
I understand because sometimes I often look at these joints and I wonder if any of these women seen it, and what are their thoughts on it? And I don't think there's a woman that's gonna be like, yo, I'm cool with that content.
Yeah, I feel it's very
male chauvinistic.
It's cringy.
It's male chauvinistic. Look at us growing and being adults, Mike.
Yeah, man. Like,
look at us. Like,
we lost my camera, but we still here. I'll give you 1 second.
Yeah, lost the camera, but we still care. Audio's still here. I totally get it, and I totally understand it from the perspective that you did. It's a bit sexist because can't no female do that.
Nope.
No, and we would find it funny. We will call us out our name. What you looking at? Yeah, we being a grown and adults. Mike said he didn't like content from a white man joking that he will smash our black queens in the WNBA. Huh? Black queens. Grand Horizon, Miriam. Have you ever, like, I'm just going to start, you know, with Miriam. I'm just going to wake up like Grand Rising Queen and see what you say. Have you ever told somebody that? Like Grand Rising?
Nah, bro. I'm good with good morning.
You good with good morning?
Good morning is, you know, buenos dias.
On birthdays, happy Earth Strong, you know?
Yeah, no, nah, we not that deep. I'm not that deep into it, you know what I'm saying? Like, good morning, happy birthday. I like to say blessings. Blessings. Birthday blessings.
Shout out to Weso. God bless. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. You know, we ain't going to go too deep. We ain't that deep in you know what I'm saying, in the trenches like that.
But yeah, fam, I actually understand. I actually get it. I actually understand. It is something weird about fetishizing. I think that's the right fetishizing women in this way.
Yeah.
But it is some parts of it that's funny, but I get it. Mike, look at you. You.
Yeah, I had a moment there.
No, I told you your first part of the pod, I told you that your house was dirty because you ain't listening to R&B music. And now look at you.
Here you
got
go.
Me growing.
Here you go.
You know what I'm saying? Children, hold on to your dreams. Believe in love. Let love be the light to show the way. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
You know, love will shine on, the light will shine on you one day. You know what I'm saying? Shouts out to Ouija, you know? Let's get this started. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame announced their inductees yesterday. And I want to go back to weeks ago when I had put the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees in the group. And it caused a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Caused a conversation. Shouts out to the homie Griffin. And first, let me say, this is no diss to Griffin. He got a project that's coming out too. Y'all go and check that out. I think he said it's his final project. I think he lying.
Hey, man, Griffin been putting out music since while we were at Windy City Underground.
And before that.
We were at Windy City Underground.
Griffin said he's the first rapper in Chicago to put out a mixtape in 1999. I believe him, but I don't believe this is going to be his last project. When rappers, look, salute to Griffin, but when rappers say this is their last project, it's like boxers saying that this is my last match.
Hey, shout out to Griffin. Shout out to Griffin. He was my last WindyCityUnderground.com interview. Before I left Windy City Underground, he was the last person I
interviewed. You remember that?
Yes, I remember. He was my last show. He was on my last show. He was on the last show of Cool Hype Radio. My last Cool Hype Radio guest. Shout out to
Griffin. I don't believe him. He gonna put out another project.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit what he say. He gonna put out another project. But
I think he might be a man of his word. We gonna see.
There's a man of your word and there's art. So there's that. So I believe it when I'm 55 and Griffin ain't dropped nothing yet. But I rock with Griffin, and Griffin was talking about hip-hop being involved in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And it didn't necessarily lead to a debate, because I wasn't going to debate. He has his feelings on it. I got mine. But it was a couple other people that chimed in. Here's my thoughts about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Rock and roll music is black. It comes from black people. Like Chuck Berry, Ike Turner, that Ike Turner. Those are your forefathers of rock and roll. Rock and roll started as a black art.
Yeah.
Now, it may have, but it's a black art.
Mm-hmm.
And the term Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I get it, and I totally understand, especially the way we look at rock and roll now. Somebody would say, oh, man, you know, only rock and roll people should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But then, as some white people was like, yo, this would be the case. Mike, do you want to know the first class of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
The first class? Like the first inductees?
The first inductees.
What year was this?
This was, I want to say, 1986.
So that's how long the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has been around, since 1986?
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has been around since 1983.
Okay.
I'm not gonna pronounce dude name right, but he was the founder and chairman of Atlantic Records. He founded it. They chose Cleveland in 1986 to be the permanent home of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame building, and it was finished, I want to say, in 1995. The first class of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is would say an eclectic list of people across multiple genres. Chuck Berry.
Okay.
James Brown. Ray Charles.
For sure.
Sam Cooke.
For sure.
Fats Domino.
Okay.
The Everly Brothers.
Okay.
Buddy Holly.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Lee Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
Little Richard.
Hey.
Elvis Presley.
Okay.
That's your very first class.
Yeah.
Of the people that entered the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You want to know who was the group in the second? The Coasters, Eddie Cochran, Bo Diddley. Aretha Franklin is the first woman to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Okay. Marvin Gaye, Bill Haley, B.B. King, shouts out to Itabena, Mississippi, Clyde McFlatter, Ricky Nelson, Ray Orbison, Carl Perkins, Smokey Robinson, Big Joe Turner, Muddy Waters, yeah. Jackie Wilson. Yeah. That's your second class.
Yeah.
I'm only going to do to the 90s. All your right. Third class, 1988. The Beach Boys, the Beatles, the Drifters, Bob Dylan, the Supremes, 1989. Dion, Otis Redding, the Rolling Stones, the Temptations, Stevie Wonder. 1990, Hank Ballard, Bobby Darin, the Four Seasons, the Four Tops, the Kinks, the Platters, Simon and Garfunkel, the Who. We been in this thing, y'all.
Otis Redding got inducted in by himself and with the Sensation.
Boy, Mike, I almost choked off of this water.
Oh, no, wait.
Otis Redding is not a member of the Temptations.
My fault.
Otis Williams.
Otis Williams, excuse me. I'm about to say I'm tripping. Otis Redding is, my fault. I'm tripping. Yeah, excuse me, my bad.
I'm drunk
off the Calypso, excuse me.
I'm not even going to clip that, y'all. That mic out here look crazy.
I'm about to say, where did some trip? When you said Otis Redding, and then you said the Temptations right after it, it just had me tweaking.
Put like, together like Otis Williams.
I was like, wait a second. I was like, all right, go Williams ahead.
Temptations. But what upsets me when people have a conversation about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is they talk like black people ain't invent this, and we ain't been in this building.
I was gonna say, like, that's kind of so it's kind of like similar to like when artists are called like pop artists, like, but you don't necessarily, pop is not necessarily just like
pop used to be R&B music.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Popular music.
Pop is popular music. That's what it is. Like, it's not like a specific genre or a specific race of people who make, you know what I'm saying, pop-ish type music. It's popular music, which is evolved, and, you know, it's a very sound variety. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. It's more than just Britney Spears, Hit Me Baby One More Time. You know what I'm saying? It's way more than that.
So, when we have these conversations about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I hate hearing, like, black people ain't supposed to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. When you go look at the first, when you look at any list, but when you look at the first couple of years of this list, you have legends in rock and roll, you have legends in jazz, you have legends in R&B that were all inducted in here, and they were black and white. So when I'm hearing people say, I'm like, y'all tripping. Now, you could have an issue with the process, but that building in general, black people built that.
Yeah.
Now, here are the requirements to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. First commercial recording at least 25 years prior to the year of induction. Beyond the single official rule, candidates are evaluated based on their musical excellence, originality, the depth of their influence, on the development and the perpetration of rock and roll, which is all of our genres, basically. They have performer categories, early influencer award. That is for artists whose music and performance style directly evolved history and impact the broader culture. Musical excellence award. This category recognizes musicians, songwriters, producers whose originality has a dramatic impact on music. And Emmett Ergun Award, I think I said it right, which is for non-performing industry professionals like executives and journalists and all of that. So the nomination process, they have the nomination committee, over 30 to 40 music historians, journalists, and industry professionals that meet to create a ballot of roughly 14 to 18 eligible nominees. The voting ballot, the ballot is sent to an international voting ballot body of more than 1,200 individuals, all living Hall of Fame members, musicians, and critics. Voters must select 7 artists on their ballot to be counted. Then you have the fan vote. Fans can vote daily online for their preferred nominees. The top 5 to 7 artists from a public poll from a single fan ballot carries the weight of one individual. Then there's the final selection. Now, I wanted to bring up the fan vote because New Edition won by far the fan vote.
Yeah.
The Candy Girls was out, y'all, and they were voting for New Edition. But New Edition is not one of the members selected in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Okay. The 2026 inductees include the Wu-Tang Clan, Phil Collins, Luther Vandross, Billy Idol, Joy Division New Order, Oasis, Iron Maiden, Sade. Musical excellence goes to Linda Creed, Rick Rubin, Jimmy Miller, and Arf Madrin. Early influence goes to Queen Latifah, MC Light, Cecilia Cruz, Graham Parsons, and Fela Kuti. And Ed Sullivan won a Met Ergun Award. So he's the non-musician that ends up in here. Now, there are two people that some might consider snubs that are not rock and roll artists.
Okay.
New Edition and Mariah Carey. I want to start off with New Edition because when
Mariah Carey got snubbed.
Yeah, well, we're gonna get to Mariah Carey in a second. Damn. Let's start with New Edition. Now, there's a lot of people that were upset that are upset that New Edition is not among the list of people that are going. You got Wu-Tang, Phil Collins, Luther Vandross, Billy Idol, Joy Division New Order, Oasis, Iron Maiden, Sade. 8. Out of those 8, and I know, Mike, you don't know some of these people, but out of these 8, let's stick to the R&B rapper category. Who you taking out for New Edition?
All right, hold on. Let me look at the list one more time. You posted it. It's in the group. Hold on.
Yep.
Give me 1 second to look at this one more time. All right. So out of Wu-Tang, Phil Collins, Luther, Billy Idol, Joy Division, Oasis, Iron. I'm familiar with all these guys. So I got to choose out of those.
Who are you taking out for New Edition?
3, 4, 5.
Because I'm going to tell you somebody it's one person in there that I was shocked that people didn't like.
Out of this 8?
Out of that 8.
What songs have they made? Like, I'm pretty sure I'm familiar with.
No, I forgot the specific Iron Maiden songs, but them niggas was going hard.
Oasis? No, I'm familiar with Oasis. Joy Division, New Order. I'm not familiar. I'm not all the way familiar.
I know that's the one group.
But you say out of like the hip hop R&B, who you taking out? You're not replacing Wu-Tang. We're not replacing Luther. And not replacing Sade. So yeah,
I was shocked to see a number of people that did not like Sade.
They try to get Sade out the paint. Stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Yes.
Stop it.
Out the paint.
Stop it.
I was shocked.
Stop it. Nah, we not.
Was shocked to see people try to get Sade out the paint.
Yeah, we can't be doing that.
Like, wait a minute. Hold on.
We can't be doing that.
Hold on. Sade? People don't like Sade? Yes. There are people on the internet that was like, why is Sade in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Why did she get in over New Edition? When did we stop hate? When did we start hating Sade?
Yeah.
Mm-mm. What could be the reason why we don't like Sade?
That's a shocking one right there, though. I don't understand. Sade has always came off as one that's been like loved throughout the music industry. So who is saying this? Fans?
Yeah.
Just like, yeah, they not. Yeah, that's a no right there.
Yes.
I couldn't even imagine people even hating on Sade like that. Like Sade has always come off as one of the loved ones. Like, you know what I'm saying? Always gets high praise.
Bruh.
And definitely goated out here. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to R&B music, that is crazy work right there.
Bruh.
Crazy. So yeah, I'm shocked
when
on that
I
one.
Tell you, I saw a number of people on the internet question the greatness of Sade.
Yeah.
I was shocked and surprised. I was extremely shocked.
Yeah.
I was extremely surprised that this was questioned.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I was 8 years old that people were not necessarily fans of her.
Mm-mm.
What did Sade do to y'all?
Can't see that being like, you know, a real thing.
Like, what did Sade do?
That can't be reality right now. Can't be. Like,
what did Sade do to y'all to warrant this hate?
Yeah.
Now, let me say this about New Edition. I am shocked and I am surprised that New Edition did not make it.
So let me ask you this. So when people do the fan vote, doesn't automatically get you in. So
no, it does not get in.
But fan vote is always a factor where everybody that gets picked.
It's a factor, but it just because you win the fan vote don't mean you're getting in.
Okay.
It doesn't mean that you're getting in. So.
I feel like New Edition they'll eventually get in.
Oh, New Edition gonna get in, but let me rock. Let me rock here because you're gonna like where I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, let me say this: I am a New Edition fan. This is nothing against New Edition. In fact, this is going to celebrate New Edition. Because the New Edition is our Temptations.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Otis Williams.
Now shout out to Otis Williams.
Yeah.
Right. And shouts out to the fact that all of them still alive.
Yeah.
Right now. And we had some splits. Just think about the greatness of New Edition.
And they on tour right now. Go ahead, though.
Right. Let's look at the greatness of New Edition. New Edition, who's on tour right now. Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky, and Mike out of Boston. As kids, killed it and got jerked for all of their goddamn money. All of their goddamn money. A lesser group would have just folded. They didn't. They stayed the course. Got some money. Bobby said, I'm out. Or did he say, they might have just kicked him out. But Bobby ain't around. Bobby gets success as a solo artist. It's gonna bring somebody else in. They bring in Johnny Gill. They give us Any Heartbreak. At the same time, Bobby Brown is giving us Don't Be Cruel and the joint from the Ghostbusters joint. So they all killing it still. Then Johnny like, yo, let me go do my. Ralph's like, yo, let me go do Sensitivity. Then we got Ricky Bell, Ronnie DeVoe, and Mike Bivens like, yo, what we gonna do? Do some shit together. And they give us quite possibly the greatest song in the 90s in Poison. Quite possibly the greatest song in the 90s.
I remember we talked about this on the pod. Did you like their album, the BVD album that they put out? I think you said it was like a real underrated project.
Fam, that second album was okay, underrated.
Which one? Second one?
Yeah, the second album.
Is that have Poison on it?
Nah, Poison.
Hootie Mac.
But the first one is Poison.
Yeah, you speak first highly of Hootie Mac.
Poison, Do Me, See You Smile Again, bruh.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at New Edition, you can't look at just New Edition as a group. You got to look at the fact that Bell Biv DeVoe, Johnny Gill, Ralph Tresvant, Johnny Gill, all had successful careers.
Like different eras of the, like every era of New Edition is different. You know every. What I'm saying? Like, it's all different all, and successful in a way.
They all different. They all successful. They all cold. I can't think of a group. I can't think of a group that gave you all of that success with every group. Now, I know somebody gonna be like, well, the Beatles. I don't hear nobody talking about, yo, go play that George Harrison. Let's go bring that George Harrison back in Starbucks. I don't. John Lennon, Paul McCartney, hey, yo, y'all got some shit. Let's just go keep that going. Ringo, I don't hear Ringo rolling off up in, you know, Starbucks or whatever. But when you look at Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky, Mike, Ralph, Johnny, everybody has success in the group. Everybody has success as a solo. Mm-hmm. And they're still on tour. And yeah, you had some issues within the group and all of that stuff. But they're still out there. They're still standing strong. And then when you add the lineage that comes from them, then you go add Boys to Men to this. Yo, there's no reason, in my opinion, there is no reason that New Edition is not in this first class of all of those reasons. But I understand, like, I don't feel like they should not be in it, but because now when you're looking at legends upon legends, I understand that they're not, because I'll get into that in a minute. But they're in our Hall of Fame. They in our hearts, and they all out here performing. But when you literally realize from the start of their career how things in their career affected them, and they never let it stop them, and even when they split up and did music solo or Bell Biv DeVoe, and the fact that they gave us all of those hits, salute the New Edition. And New Edition might be, in some cases, New Edition might just be underrated. We might not talk about New Edition as much as we should. And I'll say this. You just heard me go on a little soliloquy that I believe that New Edition should have went into the Hall of Fame this year, and looking at all the success at Solo and Bell Biv DeVoe. I think if we talked about the group more, maybe this wouldn't have happened. But, Mike, let me tell you my New Edition story.
Yeah.
On the time during the Fantastic Voyage, I'm working. And Ralph Tresvant, who's one of the coolest people I've ever met in my life, he's one of the celebrities on the boat. Boy, I ain't never seen black women call me out my name just to get me out the way so many times in my life. Boy, this woman said to me, get your fat ass out the way so we can go ahead and see Ralph.
I was going to say, was that the first thing they said to you? Is that one of the things that was said to you?
That woman said,
body shamed you to get the Ralph.
Body shamed me to get the Ralph, man. That lady said, if you don't get your fat ass out the way. I said, whoa, hold on. I couldn't even get mad, Jack. I was like, yo, what's going on? Yeah. She's like, no, excuse me, baby. I'm sorry, but you are in the way. We are not here to see you or your big ass. We are here to see Ralph Tresvant. Where's Ralph Tresvant? And I was like, you know what? Let me just move out the way. Fam, I was too young to really see people faint when they see Michael Jackson. I was too young for that.
Mm-hmm.
I was too young for that. But I see the Candy Girls.
Yeah.
I saw the Candy Girls. And I know how much the Candy Girls loved them some Ralph Tresvant. And when I tell you, like, when I look at all of these women in their mid-40s on up, boy, when I saw them women react to Ralph Tresvant and Bobby Brown, because I saw it with Bobby too, man, you have to really, truly understand how much of an effect these dudes had on the ladies back in the day. Uh-huh. You hear some woman say she a candy girl, hey, she still got New Edition posters somewhere in her house. And her husband got to understand that is what it is. What it is. She like one of them. Like, these women are still like, yo, Ralph my favorite. Nah. Ronnie my favorite. I love me some Ralph. And you know Bobby ain't going nowhere. Hey, I like when Johnny came in there. They still get that today. I don't know. And somebody had to tell me.
Mm-hmm.
If ladies was like, yo, my favorite Temptation was Eddie Kendrick. Oh, no. Mine's is Otis.
I'm pretty sure. I think that discussion was had. I get where you're going.
All I'm saying is this. My mama came up with the Temptations. Mm-hmm. My mama ain't never say I was an Eddie Kendrick fan.
Never heard that, huh?
Yeah, ain't never heard that. You know when I started hearing that? Oh, when I was young and listened to people who listened to the Jackson 5. And they like, oh, man, I love me some Mike. Ah, that's Jermaine. You know what I'm saying? That's Jermaine. Now, that Marlon. New Edition, I just end this part here. New Edition belongs in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they're going to get in.
For sure.
But when you sit back, and what I love about these Hall of Fames and what I love about just like being nostalgic is, especially for people that you may have grew up on, but you wasn't really there for the whole thing. That movie don't do it justice.
The
BET movie don't do it justice, because I saw it when they grown.
Okay.
I don't think it do it justice, because you only got a certain amount of time to tell that story.
But that is a three-part story, though, man.
No, but you still only got a certain amount of time. I feel you, but you still only got a certain amount of time.
But see, just to your point, though, just like the rise, the fall, and the rise of again of New Edition is one of those most impactful. It's a very impactful story. And the BET movie, we watched that shit as a family. Like, all of us, you, me, everybody on social media, we waited for that to come on weekly. Like, each part, you know what I'm saying? And we discussed that on social media in real time, you know what I'm saying? So, like, just to be able to actually get that, you know what I'm saying, film, to be able to actually get more of a inside look into how the rise and the fall and the rise again of New Edition happened, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful story.
Yeah. What I'm saying is this. We can't see certain things because we wasn't there for everything. But when you realize the rise, the fall, the rise again, Bobby leaving,
mm-hmm.
Ralph leaving, Johnny leaving, Belle Biv DeVoe like, yo, let's do our own thing. They give us Poison, Do Me, When Will I See You Smile Again, while Bobby giving us Don't Be Cruel and On Your Own and Tenderoni and My Prerogative, and Ralph is giving you Stone Cold Gentleman and Sensitivity, and Johnny Gill giving you Love You to Rub You the Right Way and My, and then they get back together, and then they survive Diddy, and they still on tour. New Edition needs more respect. We need to be talking about New Edition a lot more, and they deserve to be in this Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Now, here's the other part to this, Mike. Why do people get so upset about who did not make a Hall of Fame? I don't understand that. Am I tripping?
Do you get upset? Are they getting upset because they see who was on the ballot and didn't get on, or they just randomly throwing names out there, people that they feel like should be in it?
So there's a couple of people that I saw on social media that were really upset that New Edition didn't get in. And it was one in general that was like, yo, I don't know why Sade is in there. And it's like, damn.
See, that's correct. Sade catching the stray. It's crazy.
Like, I don't know why Sade up in there. And I don't know why Wu-Tang is in there. And all. Like,
that's crazy.
My one thing about when we get to this is that when you're talking about the greatest of the great, I'm not necessarily sure that we should be upset that somebody didn't get in unless they really first ballot. Like, if we would have did this and somebody said Michael Jackson didn't get in on the first ballot, then I'd be like, all right, we tripping.
Right.
Like Bill Belichick not getting in.
I was just about to say
Hall of Fame on the first ballot is like, wow.
I was just about to say it's the same discussion that's had when it comes to the Football Hall of Fame, when it comes to the Basketball Hall of Fame, when it comes to the Baseball Hall of Fame. We have this same conversation over and over again about why is this person in and why is this person not in?
I'm just tripping. I just be tripping like, yo, why do we have to disrespect who got in?
I was just about to say, Sade catching the straight because New Edition didn't get in. It's crazy work.
Like,
it's
why do we have to disrespect who got in because your favorite didn't get in when they all great?
Yeah.
Your love is king. Yeah. Nothing could come between us.
Yeah.
No ordinary. Sade, a dude is a legend. The group, the band Sade is iconic. She's iconic. How she catching strays? How Wu-Tang catching strays?
Yeah, I
know Wu-Tang is probably like, yo, I was a shorty listening to New Edition myself, so I don't know why. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But again, why are people catching full-on strays when somebody else gets in the Hall of Fame? That's when I look and be like, hey, man, what's going on? Why we got to diss this person?
Yeah.
Why do we have to disrespect the people that got in? Because your favorite didn't get in. That's when we start going a little bit too far.
Yeah, I think we got to get to
everybody's great on this list. They like, it's not like Mark Morrison, Return of the Mac, is going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
And I can say that I've done that before.
It's not like the Young MCs going in the Hall of Fame, fam. This is the greatest. Look at that list. This is the greatest of the great. Why are we tripping?
But sometimes, am I tripping to think of that? Nah, you're not tripping because I've done that as well. I've looked at certain lists of Hall of Fames, like Baseball Hall of Fame. Like, I was trying to figure out why Andrew Jones is just now getting in. I feel like he should have been in a long time ago. And I looked at other people get in, and I say to myself, like, man, this person in and Andre and Andrew Jones can't get in the Hall of Fame. Like, you know what I'm saying? I've done that before, but you know, like you said, like us as, you know, a collective of people, like, you know, and fans of all of these arts and sports and everything of that nature, we just need to learn to celebrate everybody. Nobody needs to catch a stray because your favorite hasn't gotten in. When you really look at it, fam, there's no reason why New Edition won't get in the next year or two. If not next year. Shouldn't be no situation, no issue with that. So, like, just, you know,
and
just
Donnie,
wait it out.
You ain't never heard Rebel Yell on the Block, fam? You had to, because they play it. You heard that. Look, I know I'm joking, but I ain't joking, because, shit, Rebel Yell was in a whole bunch of movies, fam. Like, oh, hey, but, yeah. I don't like disrespecting people.
Yeah.
I don't like disrespecting people just because your favorite didn't get into the Hall of Fame.
Of course, of course.
Because everybody that's getting into these joints are legends. These ain't Mark Morrison. It ain't Young MC. And I know they catch the strays too. But I think they even understand what I'm talking about. Like, this ain't no one-hit wonder or somebody who... It ain't no one-hit wonder. These are people who are icons in their genres. And it's wild to me when people start disrespecting other legends because the legend that they love didn't get in. You could be upset about the process, because I am the same person that said that they need to have a vote when somebody says they retired and signed their papers. There needs to be a vote with some people when they retire. Tom Brady shouldn't have to wait for 5 years. Michael Jordan didn't need to wait for 5 years. We know they Hall of Famers. And in some cases, they going at the top room at the Hall
gotta
of
give
Famers.
Them that. Gotta give them that window just in case they make a mistake.
Yeah.
Just in case they get involved in some type of controversy, they might off somebody in that 5 years after they retire.
That ain't got nothing to do with they play on the field.
You can't put a murderer in the Hall of Fame, babe. If Tom Brady quits and then he turns around and gets convicted for murder, you can't have a Hall of Fame ceremony for Tom Brady, bro. Or he sexually assaults somebody. Or, you know,
that ain't got nothing to do with his play on the court. So that means we got to take out all these racist dudes in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Is R. Kelly in the Hall of Fame? Is it in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
He should get in that motherfucker.
He's never going to get in, babe.
I mean,
all right, hold on, let me stop you. Is R. Kelly gonna have a celebration? Are they gonna induct R. Kelly into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they're gonna have a whole presentation for him at the ceremony?
Now you just
I'm asking you a question. I'm just playing devil's advocate. Is that gonna happen, babe? Answer me yes or no. Is that gonna happen? You see what I'm saying?
That's a whole different topic, Mike.
It is a whole different topic, but I'm saying we never know what might happen, but we might get a whole lawsuit of Tom Brady or some shit that Tom Brady got into 10, 15 years ago while he was a player. The man could be sex trafficking and all of that shit. But I get that. It doesn't have nothing to do with his play on the field. But what I'm saying is that, are you going to have a Tom Brady celebration at the Hall of Fame? Are we going to induct that
man? Wait a minute. See, R. Kelly, if R. Kelly didn't get in trouble for the shit that he did, if they waited a couple of years, he would have been up in that joint.
He should. I feel like, yeah, he's already been in there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, but I mean,
like R. Kelly as a solo artist, his first album comes out when?
R. Kelly's first album, like 90?
No, as a solo.
Solo artist, excuse me.
Because the first album is Perfect 92? Public Announcement.
Okay, hold on. I'll give you the answer right now. Damn, they don't even like R. Kelly. You can't even really find him. You got to type this shit.
It's 12 Play.
R. Kelly's first album came out. Yeah, 12 Play, 93.
Yeah, so 93. How many years? So he would have been in that joint. He probably would have been in that joint, but 25 years after his first commercial solo album, he was dealing with this shit.
I want to know the person. I want to know if there's people in the room that are like, hey, guys, what do you guys think about putting R. Kelly into the Rock and Roll?
Now you're like, oh, no, we straight. But when that motherfucker was doing I'm Your Angel with Celine Dion, whatever that damn song was, so he was like destined to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
He was definitely destined, but now you can't. Tom Brady is destined to go into the Football Hall of Fame, but he might fuck up.
That's why you got to do that shit when they retire. You can't be like, well, let's see in five years he be straight.
We want to make sure the paper trail is clean.
You say what?
We got to make sure that the paper trail is gorgeous.
Okay, let me ask you this question.
It got to be a clean paper trail.
Michael Jordan is the greatest basketball player of all time. You mean to tell me they would have kept Michael Jordan's ass out of the Hall of Fame for any reason?
Who knows, babe? In this day and age, we don't know what type of reports and lawsuits come out about people. You just never know.
If they would have tried to keep Michael Jordan ass out that Hall of Fame for any goddamn reason, ain't no goddamn Hall of Fame.
One year later after Michael Jordan retired from the Wizards, we don't know what the stories could have came out
so
about.
So, Mike, let's be real. Let's be real, Mike. I'm a name an athlete. And I'm going to ask you if they needed to wait 5 years to be inducted in the Hall of Fame.
But I'm giving you a reason why they're doing it.
I'm going to name these athletes, and you're going to tell me if they deserve to wait 5 years to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
Michael Jordan.
He shouldn't have to wait 5 years.
Kobe Bryant.
He shouldn't have to wait 5 years.
LeBron James.
He shouldn't have to wait 5 years.
Mike Trout.
Going to baseball. Mike Trout got to wait.
You got to wait.
Because Mike Trout had a downfall, like injuries and everything that set him back. So if Mike Trout would have retired like 5 years ago, maybe. But go ahead.
But Aaron Judge. Randy Johnson.
No, Randy's not.
Derek Jeter.
No, of course not. No.
Mariano Rivera.
Yeah.
Ken Griffey Jr.
No.
Why are we waiting 5 years to put some of these people? See, that's my point. That's Tiger Woods. See, go
certain people. Certain people.
Like LeBron James got to wait five. LeBron James shouldn't have to wait 5 years. Carmelo should wait 5 years.
Okay. I'm with you there.
Kareem shouldn't have to wait 5 years. Moses Malone, we could wait 5 years.
Okay.
Not saying that you ain't great. But to me, when you wait these years to put somebody in a place that they destined to go anyway, don't wait. Hockey did it the best. They was Wayne Gretzky, he retiring. Shit, put him in. Put him in. Did he come back? Yeah. He just a Hall of Famer playing. Mario Lemieux, same thing. We ain't waiting on Mario Lemieux. When Ovechkin retires,
he should go right in. He should go right in.
Go right in.
They want to make sure you're not a bad person outside of hockey rink.
Whatever. Like, whatever.
They want to protect the integrity.
So now we about to do this. Now we're gonna do this in music.
Look, I don't even know if this is true or not, babe. I'm just talking. This could possibly be a reason, though. Maybe they just want to wait 5 years to make sure that your pass don't come. If you have a pass.
Yeah, wait 5 years to vet this nigga after just we played 18 sure, years.
We want to make sure that you're a good person.
He just waited 18 years. He played 18 years. Now we got to wait.
But who in music would you like to bring up should get in? Did you say
this is not a whole thing about waiting 5 years or anything like that. But I do want to ask some questions.
Okay.
Should R. Kelly be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
If you asked me that 10 years ago, yeah, he should be in there, bro. Dude, the man rotting in prison, G. He rotting in prison right now for some sex trafficking shit, G. You can't celebrate that, bro.
But let's...
He should be in. Yes, he should be in, bang. But the reason why he's not in...
No, we're not talking about... Mike, we're not talking about the reason why he's not in.
I'm just saying.
No, I'm not. I'm not asking you that.
But that's the only reason why he's not in.
Mike, I'm not asking you that question. Just stick with the question that I'm asking you.
All right.
Because we know why. We know, Mike. I'm not asking you that question.
All right, go ahead.
I am simply just talking about music.
First ballot, R. Kelly.
If R. Kelly didn't have none of this shit going on, is R. Kelly a first ballot?
Easily. No debate.
That's all I'm asking.
You right? I got you.
Why? Why do they not like Mariah Carey?
This is shocking to me. You guys, they got me with this one. How is Mariah Carey not in? I should have been in. The disrespect. Mariah Carey should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame just off All I Want for Christmas Is You alone. She should just be in there off that song alone. We're not talking about all the number one hits and millions and hundreds of millions of albums that she has sold. But just off All I Want for Christmas Is You, she should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, G. Just off that alone. So the Mariah Carey disrespect is crazy. It's crazy. There should be more of an outrage for Mariah Carey not getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame than it should be for New Edition. No disrespect to New Edition. They have a legit argument as well. But Mariah Carey, like, what are we doing? Is this her first year on the ballot or been on it? How long has she been on the ballot?
I want to say this is her third year.
Yeah, that's crazy work, bro. Crazy work.
Yeah, I want to say this is her third year.
That's crazy work, bro. I'm sorry. The Mariah Carey disrespect is off the chain, bro. Like, I could read off a million of Mariah Carey's, accomplishments and everything like that. And, like, what are we talking about right now? Like I said, I'm not going to discredit anybody that has been inducted into the Hall of Fame. Mariah Carey's, her resume should speak for itself, G. Like, what are we doing? The third year and not in? You have to question that. Now, that right there, it makes you question the process. You know what I'm saying? It's the process. Like,
you putting Mariah Carey in over Sade?
Yes. No disrespect to Sade, but Mariah Carey gets in before Sade. With all due respect to Sade, yes, Mariah Carey gets in before Sade.
She get in before Wu-Tang?
Yes! With all due respect. You know, with all due respect. Now, Luther Vandross, it's a toss-up. However you want to go with that. That's a toss-up. Both of them should be in. They should both be going in at the same time. But Mariah Carey gets in before Wu-Tang, gets in before New Edition, gets in before Sade. You can't ask me about the white groups because I'm not all into them, into their culture with their music. But Mariah Carey gets in before New Edition, Sade, and Wu-Tang Clan.
Oh, wow. You that much? You.
No, that's just...
You got the flag for Mariah.
No, yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Not, I mean, who don't love Mariah, bro? Like, I wouldn't even have to be a Mariah Carey fan. Chris Brown
going to get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Good luck. Hey, I ain't gonna say he shouldn't be in.
Okay, Russ, I was gonna ask that question. You beating me to it. Should only specific members of the Wu-Tang Clan be in the Hall of Fame, or should all of them go? Like when the WWE inducted the NWO, it was only Hogan, Kevin Nash, and Scott Hall. It wasn't the Giant. It wasn't the Million Dollar Man. It wasn't Six Dead Two. It wasn't Vincent, Stevie Ray, Scott Norton, Great Muta. It was just Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, Hulk Hogan, Six, I believe. Does every member of the Wu-Tang Clan needs this Hall of Fame honor?
Wait. So when you say that, what do you mean? Like they get in? Like, are you saying like any of them should be in individually?
Like, no. Like, should they just say, "Hey, the Wu-Tang Clan is going in, but you got Capadonna, y'all can't go. Master Killer, you can't go."
I'm confused. Why would they? Why would they be able to go?
Ask the question.
If all members of the Wu-Tang Clan should be in.
All members.
Yeah, all members. For sure.
All of them.
Yeah. They celebrate them as a group, correct?
I'm just asking because I know people, I think so, but I know people been out there like, yo, everybody don't need to go.
What are we talking about? Like, what are we saying? I mean, if you're a founding member of the Wu-Tang Clan, yes, all of them should be there. You know what I'm saying? What do we
do? You got Capadonna.
Yes.
It shouldn't just be Meth.
It should not be Meth, Ray, Ghost. No.
RZA.
No. Yeah, no, nigga. No. What are we talking about, bro? No.
All of them.
Who had this discussion?
I'm just asking. Like,
this was brought up on the internet? Like somebody said that?
I don't know. Not
Are you
yet.
Speaking on behalf of anybody who
I'm
said this?
I'm not speaking
on
behalf. I just know I ain't never listened to a You Got Project.
That's not what they celebrate, babe. They celebrate the Wu-Tang.
I know. Man, I'm just saying. Look, You got his verse on Is Yours. That's my favorite verse from him of all time. All right? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So all I'm saying is, if every member of Wu-Tang Clan gets into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, every member of the NWO should be in the WWE Hall of Fame.
See, that's not...
Everybody. Vincent, the Million Dollar Man should be a two-time person. Dennis Rodman should be in there twice then.
Is X-Pac in the WWE Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Like, as X-Pac, just X-Pac?
Nah, as I think, yeah, he's in there.
For D-Generation X, correct?
The Giant should be in there.
Hold on, that's my point.
He in there for X-Pac, DX.
That's the point.
For
yeah.
DX, and not by himself, though. It's just for DX and the NWO.
My point, exactly. So he was part of the group. He was part of D-Generation X. So he had every right to be up there on the stage.
I ain't talking about X-Pac. I'm talking about Vincent, Million Dollar Man. They should be in the Hall of Fame as NWO. Scott Norton should be in there too. Buff Bagwell. How come Buff Bagwell is not in the Hall of Fame in the NWO? Scott Steiner.
Look.
Jeff Jarrett.
I don't think he goes.
They all members of the NWO. I feel that everybody in the NWO should be a Hall of Famer.
Okay.
If you are a member of the NWO, you should be there. Stevie Ray, you a Hall of Famer. Horace Hogan. You are a Hall of Famer. Everybody. It's the Wu-Tang clause. Everybody is getting in.
I see
everybody's getting in.
I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. But we'll see who all shows up.
It's the Wu-Tang. All that now. Everybody better show up. Hey, all y'all better show up. GZA, you better tell them niggas. You better tell him. Yeah. Tell him. You got it. You there.
I want to, yeah, we're going to see who all shows
that's all,
up.
Look, Mike, that's all I was saying. It ain't really been a lot that's going on. That was damn near the damn show right there. A couple of joints, other joints. Michael, how excited are you to see this Michael Jackson biopic, though?
Oh, are you ready? I'm really excited. Yeah, absolutely.
You
ready?
You day one, you like night. Thursday we going to see this?
No, nah, probably Friday. Friday. Go Friday. I'll be in Detroit next Friday when the movie comes out.
Yes. Yes, you gonna go see the movie in Detroit?
I'll probably check it out in Detroit. I'll probably check it out in Detroit. Motown, right?
Hey, oh, look at you.
That's right, bro. See, look, that just makes perfect sense.
Mike going to see Jay-Z in New York, going bowling. Everything revolves around bowling. I'm gonna go Jay-Z, and then come back.
You see how I mix in the culture with parenting? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna be a parent, but look, I'm gonna go have some fun for myself as well. You know what I'm saying?
Are you going to be in Michael Jackson Get Up?
Yeah, I got me a little Michael Jackson shirt. Yeah, I'm gonna
white glove.
Nah, I ain't gonna go that crazy, but I got a little vintage Michael Jackson shirt that I could put on. You know, I have on in that celebrating. Yeah, I'm definitely excited about it. I want to see. I feel like this is the first proper Michael Jackson celebration film movie that we're gonna get. You know what I'm saying? Ever since the American Dream movie, which was technically a Jackson 5 movie,
is it going to be better than the American Dream?
I don't know. Look, check it out. You know how much y'all love American Dream. I don't think we're gonna get as much.
We gonna see Mike get his ass whooped.
I don't know if we're gonna go that far. I think we obviously with the American Dream, we were able to see like the growing up, like the more like real in-depth growing up of Michael Jackson in the Jackson 5. I think with this movie, I don't know what the runtime is. The Jackson 5 movie is clearly like a series. So it's like a five-part movie. So this right here, obviously, we only getting 2 hours, 2.5 hours, if that. But apparently there's going to be a part two. But
we got to
have a part two.
We got to see him die.
But I don't know if we're going to even go that far.
Bad.
Yeah, that was bad, bang. But I don't even think they're going to go that far with it, even if they do a part two.
So the end of the movie, so you're basically saying the end of the movie has to be, like, how do you envision this Michael Jackson biopic ending?
I think it ends after like going into maybe like it got to be like Dangerous or even maybe Invincible. Like maybe I think you stop there. I don't think you go any further than that. Like after he put out his last solo album, which was Invincible. I don't know that because that's gonna be tricky because obviously what are they gonna do with them? I don't want them to go too crazy with trying to like make Jafar look like Michael getting older. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like I think this goes no further than like Dangerous. Like maybe after Bad. Maybe after Bad because
it's like the Bad Tour.
Bad Tour.
So wait a minute. So do the movie end? Because if we got something to go by, the same people that produced Bohemian Rhapsody is the same people that's producing this. Antoine Fuqua is directing it, but those are the same people. So that movie basically ended with Freddie Mercury performing at Live Aid. Man. So does Bad end with Michael Jackson standing for 5 minutes and people dying because he's just standing there for 5 minutes and then he's performing bad songs.
For sure.
And then let's just say, for instance, he goes to Man in the Mirror and he's performing Man in the Mirror and everybody's crying and everything.
Yeah.
And then that's over with. And then the credits start to go and you get the credits of Michael Jackson did this and sold this and all of this. And, and maybe we get a tease of part two. I think that's how this movie ends.
I'm guessing even just based off the soundtrack, because they put out a soundtrack or they got like all the songs. They got a Michael's like a soundtrack. Yeah, it's gonna be a soundtrack of all the list of songs that's gonna appear. It's gonna appear that it's in a movie. They only stop after Thriller. So they don't have anything after Thriller.
They don't have nothing after Thriller?
No, that's what I'm saying. That's gonna definitely be a part two. There's nothing.
Well, okay. So wait a minute. If this is the case, there's no Thriller tour. There's no Thriller tour.
We're not gonna. I think we already saw
the end of the movie. If there's no, wait a minute, hear me out. I think low key we've seen the end of the movie.
We're getting a part two. It's gonna be a part two.
No, I know, but I'm talking about of this movie. I think we've already seen the end. Then, if there's no songs on this soundtrack after Bad or before Bad. If all of the songs is Young Mike to Thriller, That means the end of this movie is Motown 25. Because there's no Thriller Tour. Remember that. There's the Jackson 5 Victory Tour. The tour he didn't want to do, but his daddy was like, no, you doing this shit, fam.
Hey, man, look, check this out. That's going to always be a very, that's going to be like the most funniest story ever, bro. Like the man literally didn't want to be on stage with his brothers. That man said, look, Joe, I'm going to do these few songs with y'all, but I'm performing Thriller. I'm performing all my new shit. You know what I'm saying? So when it's my turn, y'all get y'all asses off the stage and just let me handle it.
So that's what I'm saying.
But let me ask you a question. When did Motown 25 happened? After Thriller or before?
Yes, he dropped Thriller. He used his performance at Motown 25 to sell Thriller. And it became the after Thriller. That was the catalyst after Thriller. Motown 25 became the catalyst of Thriller becoming the biggest selling album of that year and of all time. But he didn't go on tour until Bad by himself. That was after, I want to say the Victory Tour was before Motown 25. Then he does Motown 25. He does the moonwalk. Everybody's like, oh, I ain't seen that before. You ain't seen that episode of Soul Train when they was doing it. No, I ain't seen Michael Jackson do it before. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we've already seen the end of the movie because they showed that clip already.
Put the clip out of him.
They
doing
put that clip out already. I think that's the end of the movie. You have to end this movie with a performance. Okay. If there's no bad songs on that soundtrack.
Yeah, it's no bad songs. Nothing. It's only Off the Wall and Thriller records on here.
Now, with that being said, oh man, I don't know. I'm a little nervous. Cause I think you need to end this movie with Bad.
That's why it's gonna be part two. It's gonna be a part two.
I know it's gonna be a part two, but I think you end part one with Bad, with Man in the Mirror.
We're going into Bad, maybe.
You ended with a man.
You're giving him too much, bro. You're getting Jackson 5 and you're getting two albums.
Man in the Mirror. Look, when we talk about, think of movies. Think of film in a movie. To me, you don't end a movie with Motown 25. You end the movie with Man in the Mirror.
Because now,
on part two, you got a lot of shit that's about to go on.
Yeah.
You got, can I top this? Then it's dangerous. But then you got all of the allegations. Yeah. Then you got the allegations. You got Black and White and all of that stuff. Then you got Beating That and all of that. Then you get Invincible. You end part two with Invincible.
I honestly feel like if they were to go into a part two, I don't really see them going too crazy with the allegations. Like, I don't think they go really in too deep in that story. Well,
If they don't do anything after Thriller on this, then you ain't getting to the allegations.
Okay.
Yeah,
they might get into the allegations, but I don't really think they're gonna go too in deep with it. Like, you know,
Mike,
what I'm saying?
It wasn't no sexual assault allegations with Michael Jackson in 1984.
Mm-hmm.
83, 84. It wasn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
That shit happened in the 90s.
I had read a report that they said, obviously, if the movie does like $700 million at the box office, come on now. That they'll green light the part two, which I don't know how they're gonna. but I'm definitely excited about it, and I'm hoping that they do it right and, you know, give Michael Jackson the proper celebration that he deserves. Like, you know what I'm saying, with this film.
See, Donnie said they stop it before Dangerous. That's why I think Man in the Mirror gonna be the final song.
They can do that too, because after Dangerous is when, like, you know what I'm saying, more allegations, and then Michael Jackson went more crazy with the face and everything like that. I don't think they're gonna go that far.
How long will Michael Jackson be black in this movie?
In this movie? In the first one?
If you had to give a time frame of how many hours that Michael Jackson is gonna be black in this movie, like how?
Well, for this whole movie, he's gonna be black.
Like,
if he's gonna be all black, it's gonna be black skin the whole way. If they go into Thriller, if we know what we know, and they're going to Thriller. Michael Jackson didn't change his color until Bad. So he didn't go light skin until he was Bad.
So like two twenty-five, he gonna be white.
The part two, he gonna be white. Okay. Or light skin. I ain't saying he mean light skin.
So it's like, you know, and what's that Villago, Mike?
He didn't go white until he did Janet Jackson. Him and Janet Jackson did Scream.
Will they touch? Do you think they should touch on the beef between him and Prince?
No, bro. No,
like they did in Notorious or the Diddy or the Puff movie.
No, you want to know why? Because the Prince and Michael Jackson beef never really was like, was that like big news? Was it like big news, or was it kind of like they kind of kept it under the radar? I feel like Michael and versus Prince was like an under the radar kind of beef.
There was a rivalry.
I'm very aware of that, but I think it was like an under the radar rivalry. I don't think that was nothing crazy.
Do you think? No. Do you think they should have Michael Jackson watching Purple Rain and being saying, like, "This shit whack as hell."
Shit
whack as hell. Let me do Bad. Let me write Bad. Let me write Bad. Your blood is mine.
I can't see them put Michael Jackson in Hate No Prince. I don't think so.
Oh no, Mike. We gotta have that. We gotta have Mike. Like, we gotta have Michael Jackson sneaking into a movie theater to watch Purple Rain and Hate No Purple Rain.
You can't, bro.
The whole time.
We can't be out here making Michael Jackson look like he a hater, bro. We can't be doing that.
The whole time and being like, you know what I'm gonna do?
Nah.
I know what I'm gonna do. And then they show him writing Bad.
Nah.
And then your bud is mine. I don't know, Mike.
I don't think so.
I think we might have to have that.
Leave Michael versus Prince out of this, all right?
Why?
We don't need that. We don't need that. We don't want to celebrate beef. That's beef.
We don't want to celebrate beef this year, but last year we were celebrating this shit. Now, when it comes to Michael Jackson and Prince, we don't want to celebrate this shit.
Who beef we celebrate? Oh, we need to celebrate Kendrick Lamar and Drake. Nah, we can't do that. We can't celebrate beef. They not here no more, bang. They not here to speak for themselves, man. They can't.
That makes it even better. It's the people speaking for. Mike, what if they do have that? What if they have Mike sneaking into a Purple Rain theater and being like, nah, I got something.
I would die laughing.
Because Mike, not only does Mike give us Bad after that, but he gives us Moonwalker. I got my own movie, fam.
I got my own movie. What you talking about, bro? You know what I'm saying?
Annie, are you okay? You know what I'm saying? Annie, are you okay? And how was this birth? Because Michael Jackson was watching Thriller. I mean, Michael Jackson was watching Purple Rain.
That man put out a movie in L.A.
You gonna put out a movie? You put out this movie? Fuck is this?
Word on the street is Michael Jackson was one of them petty motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? He was a petty nigga, dog. You know what I'm saying? So I can see him being like that, but them putting this in the movie.
Michael.
Who gonna be around to co-sign that information? Who was around at the time? Michael Jackson, we can confirm that this is what Michael Jackson did. That he went to the studio, he went to the movies and saw Purple Rain and started.
Mike, we gotta have it. What is you doing? Huh? You say what? Did you tell your mama? Did you tell your brother you want some cheeses instead of trying to climb up there? So tell them, one of them, to go get it so you won't hurt yourself. Go tell your brother you want some cheese. This boy about to climb while I'm doing this goddamn podcast. And then next thing you know, you hit boom, boom. And then now everybody crying because he crying. But yeah, we need that, Mike. We need Michael Jackson going to the movie theater, watching Purple Rain, getting pissed at Prince, and saying, hey, yo, I got something for you. He started writing Bad, and then they show him in the studio. And then they show some dude looking like Wesley Snipes.
Oh, my God.
And that was supposed to, he wanted to be Prince. He calls up Prince, yo, I want you in my video. Prince like, no, I don't want you. I don't want to do that. And then he get Wesley Snipes. And then they do the video making. And then he does
do that Prince impression again.
I don't want to do this, Mike. I don't. How dare you call me? How dare you call me?
Oh, my God.
How dare you call me, want me to be a piece of this? I don't know. Oh, you're trying to do what I did with Purple Rain, huh? You can't outdo it. Oh, word? Your butt is mine.
That is great.
Hey, so last week we were talking about TV shows that we'll rewatch. I've been rewatching watching for the first time Dragon Ball Z.
I seen you put some. I've never watched Dragon Ball Z before. I think I probably watched it, like maybe I probably glanced at it when it came on TV, but I never was a Dragon Ball Z person. So you're rewatching, or you're like first time watching?
No, I'm watching. I'm watching for the first time.
How's that going?
Now, very interesting. Mr. Popo was black as hell. Like Mr. Popo, is some character on here named Mr. Popo. That's okay. He's the blackest character I've ever seen in my life. Like he's black as your shirt.
Yeah.
Like if that LA cap is black, he's black as that hat. And he just like, well, what you want, Goku? I'm like, yo, this has gotta be racist. And Piccolo, like, he's African black. Piccolo is some dude from out west. Like Goku gone somewhere. Gohan is trying to fight some. I'm on like Raditz and stuff. And Raditz didn't whoop everybody's ass, but he did and that thing. I just want to get the Machin Buu. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing I've ever saw of Dragon Ball Z. And Machin Buu was beating their ass for like 2 months. Like they wasn't scratching this nigga. Machin Buu was just whooping their ass. Yeah. And at the end of it, will Goku finally do this, blah, 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 find out on the next Dragon Ball Z? I'm like, God damn. Machin Buu gonna whoop their ass, but apparently it's like 25 seasons.
I was about to ask you how many seasons of Dragon Ball Z. Good luck. Good luck.
I'm like, what seasons do I got to watch? Everybody like, oh, how many seasons of it? Damn, they're like 30.
If anybody tells you a specific season to watch of Dragon Ball Z, they are nerds. You're a nerd for real. If you can remember specifically the season, you need to be watching the Dragon Ball Z. Because I was going to ask you how many seasons they had, bro.
No disrespect to Dragon Ball Z fans. Very disrespectful.
How could you possibly say like, oh yeah, you got to go check out season 13 of Dragon Ball Z?
Mike,
how many episodes did you see?
Mike, that was very disrespectful to our listeners who watch Dragon Ball Z.
Nerd in a respectful way. I don't knock anybody that, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a nerd for certain things, but like 25 seasons and you know specifically, that's crazy.
See, look at this shit. Talking about some, you know, the Freezer and Cell saga. Yeah. That you got 220 more episodes before you get the Boo, fam. Damn, see?
Yeah, that's crazy. That is crazy.
That's a lot.
That's crazy.
That's a whole lot. I'm only on like episode 11.
I feel you, mean you Donnie. Me? I feel you. I feel you.
You mean to tell me I got 201 left?
Damn, bro. Yeah. Hey, man. Look, shout out to all the Dragon Ball Z watchers. That's crazy, though. He said, I'm trading on thin ice. I apologize. No disrespect.
Hey, no they whoop your ass, man.
No disrespect.
They whoop your ass. What you talking about?
I don't want no smoke. I don't want no smoke with Dragon Ball Z fans. I don't want no smoke.
Hey, look.
Y'all got it. Y'all got it.
You,
no disrespect.
You better watch that.
It's just crazy that like, it's just shocking to me that like you can know exactly like which episodes of what, because there's so much content. That's so much cartoon content, G.
Folks was like, yo, you gotta watch episodes. You gotta watch seasons 23 to 25 for that. How many?
That's crazy. That's crazy.
It's like a prequel that I just skipped, where Piccolo was the bad guy. He was the bad guy. Now he the good guy.
Yeah.
On Dragon Ball, he's the bad guy. It's like Street Fighter. On Street Fighter 1, Socket is the bad guy. He's still a bad guy. On Street Fighter 2, but in Street Fighter 1, he's the main ball. Like, bang, he's the final boss.
Bang, sucked in. He in. You're in, but, bang.
But number two, he is like M. Bison. I don't know how M. Bison, like, upped him. I'm only on episode 11 of Dragon Ball Z, Mike. I don't know if I can do it.
How many episodes are in each season? Good luck. Good luck, buddy.
I'm trying to do this for the culture. I'm trying to learn a little bit. I'm on my wrestling shit. I've been watching WWE Superstars from 86. Now I'm on 89. Mm-hmm. I could do it.
You
I'm really in my nerd bag.
Good, man. I'm proud of you, Feb. That's good, Feb. You know what I'm saying? Keep you entertained. I'm like, glad.
All that stuff that people tried to shame. Look, before we get to the final shit, I just want to throw it out there that I dislike all of you people that I knew and Michelle Clark specifically. Because y'all had a way of shaming people for being fat and watching cartoons. And y'all was and watching wrestling, and y'all was probably doing it, but y'all was coming to school trying to tell me that I was a lame because I was watching Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Now look at you. Like, so what? Like you really hurt me because you told me I was a lame for watching Power Rangers. And then now you see some Power Rangers. I used to watch that as a kid. Like, I really strongly dislike all of you. From the 6th, 7th, and 8th grade of Michelle Clark, for lying on what you was watching, because y'all was watching that shit. Y'all just came to school, and because you knew how to footwork, you thought you was cool because you knew how to footwork, and you had some Nautica or some Tommy.
And behind closed doors, you was a behind that Nautica. And those Jordans you was wearing.
You was coming home and watching DuckTales 2.
Okay.
You was watching Tailspin 2. You was watching all of that. Man. But you shamed me for being fat, watching Power Rangers, and wrestling. But you know what? I grew up to be a good man, a father of 3 kids, a great husband, and doing well. I got a wrestling podcast. We on here talking about Dragon Ball Z. But I didn't watch Dragon Ball Z because y'all called me lame for watching peer pressure.
Now look at you. Now look at you.
Y'all didn't do that. And we didn't do that at McNair. But at Michelle Clark, y'all did that. Now y'all could have turned me I could have turned into one of them House 5 people that stayed in the same classroom all day, but I didn't.
Now you certified in the Dragon Ball Z world, bang.
I'm a Dragon Ball Z. I'm gonna get a tattoo of Goku and be at Comic Con and be like, look at me. You know what I'm saying? That's gonna be me. I didn't have a starter jacket, Russ. Couldn't afford it.
Starter jackets wasn't expensive back then.
I know it wasn't expensive. My folks said they couldn't afford it. Do you think your folks sometimes was lying about what they could afford and not afford?
Yes.
All right. I just want to make sure. If
they said that now, compared to what stuff costs now, I believe you. But back then, knowing what it costed back then, I was lying.
So you think your folks was lying when you went to the store and you wanted that Nintendo game and they was like, can't afford it.
Look, man. Look, you know what? See, I can't say it because, look, I was... My parents, they kept me and my brother up to date with all the video games and stuff like that.
Y'all but when spoiled. It
came to like, we was kind of spoiled. But when it came to like the Jordans and stuff like that, I could only get a certain pair. And I used to have to sneak out the house. I snuck out the house and wore shoes that I wasn't supposed to wear. And you want to know? And look, so this is what I did. So my old man told me like, look, you can't wear these until like summertime. So he'd get them like a size, half size up. Look, but you know, they had field day. Field day, you know what I'm saying, was the day you dress out of uniform.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Okay.
So this is what I did. So look, this is what I did. Creativity here. I put tape, like white tape, on the bottom of the shoes. So when I stepped outside, you know what I'm saying, you couldn't tell no dirt was on them.
You couldn't tell you was outside in them shoes, huh?
Outside. And I was so
stupid.
Yeah,
Mike, my first pair of Jordans was, what's that, the Porsche Jordans? The Porsche Ferrari Jordans or whatever, but the blue ones was it the Jordan 14?
Jordan 14, yep. Ferrari, yeah, but blue ones though.
I had the blue one, yeah. That was my last pair of Jordans too. That's the only pair of Jordans that I had.
Yeah, it's all right. They weren't for everybody. You didn't have to have.
I mean, I wanted them.
Yeah.
No, see, here's the thing. I wanted those Jordans. But my parents was like, we can't afford that.
Yeah. They probably like, was lying, man. They probably was lying.
I want to get the Jordan 9s. Nah, we can't afford that. Or they still in those shoes. Like, I remember I was going, I think it was the 13s. I was going to get the black and red joints. And then I want to say my little cousin got them snatched off of him. Mm. Oh, no, they said that they sent them home because they said that if you had those black and red Jordans, they were gang colors. Yeah. So they sent them home. So my folks was like, well, that's why you ain't getting them, because them gang colors are like, why?
Wait a second. You told me y'all couldn't afford them, but you really don't want to get them for me because they gang colors? Is that what
you
said?
Now you don't want to get them because they gang colors.
Okay.
So yeah, my folks was quick to tell me what they can afford and what they couldn't afford. Mm-hmm.
I might have been a little privileged.
So Mike, I'm gonna give you two things to watch because I know you ain't do the homework from last week.
Was I supposed to listen to LaRussa? Forgot.
Yep. You still ain't listen to LaRussa.
Yeah, you know what? I think I'm not gonna get to that guy, but go ahead.
Hey, yo. Imperfect Women.
I just seen somebody talk about that show on my timeline. I just saw it.
Michael Butler? Okay. Imperfect Women? It was me. I put that up on Facebook.
It was somebody else too. I don't think I seen you posting it. I missed that post.
I did though, but yo, Imperfect Women. Yo.
Can my wife watch this too?
No, y'all watch it together.
Okay. She'll enjoy it. Okay.
Oh yeah. Yeah, y'all gonna enjoy that together. Hey, Kay Washington, Elizabeth Moss, okay. Kate Mara, y'all gonna love that show. Y'all gotta watch that show, Imperfect Women. And you jumped on The Boys yet? Pause. You back on? Did you ever watch The Boys?
The Boys?
Yeah. Oh.
Did you tell me about this
on Amazon Prime, Mike? Michael Butler.
Did we talk about this? Did we talk about this already?
Yeah, we talked about The Boys before. But with Homelander?
Nah, hold on, give me 1 second. Okay, I didn't know I was supposed to be watching this. You didn't tell me about this. Like, I'm watching, what you call, I'm, bruh. Meanwhile, we just catching up on Euphoria, and then I just started watching Welcome to Derry just today. So I just started watching that. I'm catching up on that now. So I got some homework to do. I didn't know I need to watch The Boys, though. I don't think we talked about that.
Boy,
we talked about that show, but I don't think you told me, like, homework-wise. But Imperfect Women, we'll watch that, though. What is it, the Imperfect Woman or Women?
It's Imperfect Women.
Okay.
It's 5 episodes in. Today was episode 5. It's getting very spooky.
All right, cool.
It's getting very spooky over there.
Cause we catching up on Euphoria too, so I was trying to.
Oh, I gotta watch. So they said that old girl was, what was that? Sydney Sweeney. She was that first episode. She was out there wild.
I haven't watched the first episode yet. I'm rewatching. I watched Euphoria. I was caught up on the first two seasons, but I like to rewatch before the show came out, before the new episodes came out. So we finishing up rewatching season 2. So I haven't gotten to the first episode, yeah, we should probably get done with that by the weekend. So
yeah, man,
we'll circle back on Euphoria talk. You know what I'm saying? And see what I heard. Sydney Sweeney was busting it open though, but I'm not shocked. Not shocked.
They said that this is damn near humiliation ritual type shit. She out there just wild.
All right, I haven't heard if it was that crazy, but all right, I got you on the homework. Imperfect Women. I didn't know I need to be watching The Boys though. I'm gonna have to watch The Boys.
You will love.
How many seasons is that?
This is the last season, season 5. So it's kind of like the perfect time for you.
All right, cool.
But you will love The Boys. Bang, did you finish watching Bel-Air? Yeah. Yeah.
Bel-Air was a cool watch.
It's cool. Yeah, it's cool. You know what I'm saying?
I think they was overacting in that shit.
That's cool, but this shit we watching now.
Yeah.
We in that real shit.
Yeah.
We in that real shit. Well, yeah, you gotta watch that. But again, they gotta end Michael Jackson they gotta win the Michael Jackson joint with Man in the Mirror.
All right. So no, they don't need to go any further than Man in the Mirror, is what you're saying when it comes to
Michael
Jackson.
Once he performs, like they perform We Are the Champions at the end of Bohemian Rhapsody.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like they had a song going while they was doing like the final credits and shit. Man in the Mirror has to be the final song played in this movie. Okay. And then the credits come down, and then to prepare us for part two when the crazy shit happens. If they do that, it is the greatest biopic of all time. People gonna cry. Like, you gonna cry, Mike, in that theater if Man in the Mirror is the last song played.
Okay.
Oh, gonna make a change for the rest of my life. They got to, Mike. Hey, man, end us off, Jack.
All right, man, some dude pie. Make sure y'all rate. Make sure y'all like. Make sure y'all subscribe. The Barber's Chair Network is what you can search anywhere where you listen to your favorite podcast is at, and that's where Some Dude Pod is available. Make sure you follow us on IG at Some Dude Pod, at Mike V underscore CHR, at JR Bang, Facebook group, hashtag Some Dude Pod. I'm Mike B. That's JR Bang. End us off, Bang, with Man in the Mirror.
Accent, can you change his ways? Oh, and I don't know the words, so I'm just gonna go ahead. I just
but know if you wanna, make my a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
Yeah. How many? Know what? I ain't even gonna say that. I'm just gonna end the pod.
Oh, man.
Yo, yo, yo! It's your girl Nate Kale, and this is Some Podcast. We out. Peace.